Well, I guess this is officially the first Sunday of the year, so Happy New Year. Man, it is good to just be with you this morning. I know that our lives have been crazy busy these last few weeks. Many of us have been traveling, and just thankful that you guys chose just to come and just worship this morning. This past week, we just started a series called Just One Thing. We looked at Philippians chapter 3, Paul is writing to the church of Philippi. They're really just kind of having a hard time. They were struggling just with the vision that God had given them. They were struggling just with their walk with God. They had gotten to the point where just following the Lord just became very monotonous to them. Many times in our lives, we become just the same way. And as Paul was speaking to them, He says there in Philippians chapter 3, he talks about that he has not yet gotten there. I know many times in our lives we get to the point where we just feel comfortable and we just want to kind of stay right there, whether it be in our jobs, whether it be who we are as a dad, who we are as a person, and even in our walk with God, many times we just get where we're just comfortable. You know, things are going okay. They're not good or bad. We just want to stay there. And Paul says, you know what? I want to keep going. I want more of God. I want to see God do more than He did yesterday than He did tomorrow. I just said that backwards. You know what I'm talking about, okay? But I want to see God do more this year in my life than He did last year. And for that to take place, Paul gave us some instructions. He talked about that we've got to stop and we've got to forget what was behind us. We've got to strain towards what is in front of us. And he talks about just as a runner does, as he strains towards the finish line, it takes effort to get there. Fulfillment does not happen without effort. And he doesn't say, I want you to fail to remember, but I want you to forget. I don't want you to allow this influence or this thing to affect you any longer in your life, because it is in the past. And as we pursue the things of God, may we run. As Paul says in Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This morning I want to go a little bit deeper with this understanding of one thing, because the reality of it is when we focus on one thing, that one thing could be the wrong thing. And when we allow that wrong thing that we are focusing on, it leads to a problem that we all have to deal with on one degree or another. Let me ask you a question this morning. Has anybody worried lately? Anybody in here at all? Last couple of weeks. If you would say, I've worried one time, I want you to raise your hand, all right? The rest of you are lying, okay? Most of you, most of us have worried already today. Man, what am I going to wear, you know? Like, my hair didn't do right. I struggled with my hair this morning. Can you tell? I'm just kidding, all right? Like you do every week, Brandon. Worry. You know, the Bible talks about worry a lot. A whole lot. Specifically in Matthew chapter 6, where we're going to be this morning, you can go ahead and start turning there. Jesus is sitting down with His disciples, and He's talking to them. He's preparing them, because Jesus is about to go to the Father. He's about to go to the cross and pay the price for our sins, and He's going to be resurrected, and He's going to be going to the Father, and He's preparing Christ followers for what's to come. And what's interesting is here in Matthew chapter 6, specifically in verse 25, one of the first things he says, he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Have you ever been worried about something and then someone graciously comes into your life and says, hey, don't worry about that, and you just want to like knock them upside the head? Anybody? Let's just be honest. You know, when I tell you not to worry about something, it doesn't have a lot of effect on your life. It probably aggravates you. And when I'm worried about something and somebody comes into my life and says, man, don't worry about that, man. Why are you allowing that thing to affect you in that way? But there's something about it when Jesus says, don't worry about your life. You know, there's something about that, man. Like, I'm all ears now. I want to hear what you have to say about this, Jesus. Because I believe what you're about to say is going to change my life. I've shared this many times, and some of you are probably tired of hearing about it. This is something that I struggle with. I remember about 7 years ago when God was calling specifically me and my family to be a part of one church and to preach, and I've never been a head pastor before, and I didn't really want to do it. Have you been there before? But I knew that God was calling, and I was struggling, and I was wrestling with that, and I finally got to the point, God, I just want to surrender because I truly desire to see you work in and through my life. That is really my desire. But many times I'm not obedient in that area, but I was really surrendered to that point. And I remember for about 2 or 3 years, man, I wrestled with anxiety and worry to the point of I'm worthless. There is no way God can use me, to the point of wanting to quit or whatever the situation. And maybe this morning that's where you are. That worry has gotten the best of it. And what happens in our lives when that takes place, when we believe that lie, we start understanding that our lives mean nothing. And so Jesus boldly tells his disciples, because he knows there's going to be times in their lives where worry and anxiety and stress will take over them and it will steal their joy to the point of quitting. So he says very boldly, do not worry about your life. We're going to read the rest of that together. Matthew 6. We're going to be in verse 25 all the way through 34. Then we're going to take just a few minutes this morning to unpack that together. So here we go. Verse 25, Matthew chapter 6. It says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Verse 28. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you. Lord, please humble me right now, God. God, I pray that your Spirit would speak. God, I pray, Lord, that it would be an encouragement to us this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that it would edify the body of Christ this morning, Lord. I pray that you would bring comfort and peace through your word this morning, Father. God, thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, sometimes I think, what did they have to worry about 2,000 years ago? But all throughout history, all throughout Scripture, that the thought of worrying over things has been something that has affected people in a big, big way. Even today, we still worry about our lives. We worry about mortgage payments, having a job, our health insurance, paying for college. We worry most about finances. Poor people worry they don't have any money, and the rich people worry they don't have enough money. Poor people spend their life looking for money, and rich people spend their life storing it up. And so this morning, just for a few minutes, Jesus is determined to put a stop to worry. And Matthew 6, 25, 31, and 34, he reiterates the understanding of, therefore, do not worry. Now, this Greek word that worry comes from is a combination of two smaller words. One word means to divide, and the other word means the mind. In other words, to worry is to have a divided mind. So a divided mind always leads to diminished performance. So how do you and I, even as Christ followers, how do we stop? How do we overcome? How do we find victory from worrying? That's the big question we want to answer this morning from the reading of God's Word. In verse 26, it says this. It's interesting that he uses this description here. He says, look at the birds of the air. Is anybody else like, yeah, okay? He says, look at the birds of the air. And I believe he says, look at the birds of the air, because I want you to get yourself off of you. You see, many times when we see things and we internalize things, when I get to that point, I get very selfish. Anybody else? Like, I don't care about anything, anybody else. I don't care about my situation. I don't care about the people around me. I don't care if what I do hurts people. And we get to that point, and what Jesus is saying here, I want you to look outside of yourself here. And I want you to look at the birds. Look how I take care of them. They don't even know there's a God. And you know that there's a God who loves you, that takes care of you, that promises to provide those things for you. And he says, I want you to just look at them. And you know, as I was studying this week, this has actually been medical history, that a bird has never been treated for hypertension, all right? Somebody has actually done this study. I'm not kidding, all right? They've never been treated for high blood pressure or stress. I've never seen a bird who is walking around stressed out about where the food is coming from, all right? Ain't the only bird I've seen stressed out. Maybe Big Bird, if you've been there before, if you've got kids, okay? But the question is these birds are not walking around trying to figure out how they're going to survive. And I love how God says this, or how Jesus says this. He goes, you are so much more valuable than they are. You are so much more valuable than the birds who don't even have to worry about. I provide for them. I will provide for you. By the way, have you ever heard the saying, you know, he or she eats like a bird? Anybody ever use that before? This is free. Did you know birds eat 2 or 3 times their body weight every day? Okay, so maybe you do eat like a bird, okay? I'm just going to throw that out there, okay? Be careful how you use terms. So Jesus says, I want you to look at the birds. I want you to get your eyes off of your situation, off of your problems, and I want you to see, and you are so much more valuable than they are. And then he goes on in verse 27. He says, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Many of us wish we weren't so short. Worrying might make you taller. You wish you weren't overweight, worrying won't lose a pound. You wish you had more time, worrying won't give you another minute. Worrying never solved a problem, never dried a tear, never lifted a burden, never removed an obstacle. Worry has never made a bad thing good or a good thing better. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down real quickly. There are two things you should never, ever worry about. And the first thing is this. Never worry about things you can change. Never worry about things that you can change. Change them. Choose to take a different path. Choose to get things done. Here's what happens many times. Is there are things that we can change. There are things that God can do in and through our lives. I can be a better husband. I can be a better dad. I can be one who loves people better. But what happens many times when we sit and we allow worry to take over and we congregate all of these things of what's going to happen and it never happens the way you think it was. It's like that really wasn't that big of a deal or whatever the situation is. Don't worry about things that you can change. Change it. Choose a different path. Choose a different direction. And the second thing, never worry about things you can't change. Worrying is not going to change anything. But I do invite you to worry just about anything else, okay? You see, Jesus gets down to the root problem of this. Verse 28, he says, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you?" Then he says, you of little faith. You of little faith. And then Jesus, he presses in a little bit more. In verse 31, he says, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans..." Now, the pagans are people who don't care about the things of God. They go and they do and they squander and they do all of these things. And they bring condemnation on themselves because of the choices they make. He goes, the pagans, they run after all of these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. What he's saying is why are we allowing these things to consume our thoughts, to consume our lives in such a way that it takes away from the joy that we can have in Christ Jesus? You see, worrying has the effect of destroying our lives. I did some research on worrying. And you get on the internet, and everything is true on the internet, of course, right? But here's what it said from a medical website. It says, "Worry can cause physical reactions, difficulty swallowing, dizziness, fatigue, headaches, inability to concentrate, irritability, nausea, shortness of breath, suppression of the immune system, digestive disorders, muscle tension, short-term memory loss." You're like, oh, that's what it is. "Premature coronary artery disease, heart attacks, and it can even lead to depression and eventually suicidal thoughts in our lives. That we get to the point where we completely stop caring." And I know that many of us are affected by that every single day, and some of us are affected by it maybe by family members or whatever the situation is, but worry has and has the power to control us in such a way. But Jesus says, you know what, we shouldn't worry about those things. I am thankful for food. I am thankful that you all have clothes on this morning. Thank you. I'm thankful that God created taste and flavors and all of these things. I'm thankful for that. But God says, here, I want you to understand something. I'm going to provide those things, but this is not what life is about. You see, for some of us this morning, that is what life is about. It's about the tangible things in our lives. It's about making a name for ourselves. It's about having the nice things. It's about the car, the clothing, and this and that. And we are so affected by that. And when things don't go well, that worry, it slips in. And the next thing we know, we have no joy. And we're like, man, where's the joy in my salvation? It's because we are focused on the things that Jesus says, I will take care of those things. I will provide for you in that way. R.C. Sproul calls it practical atheism. If you don't know R.C. Sproul, he was a great theologian who just passed away just a few weeks ago. And this is what he says. He says, "What is deadly to the church is when the external forms of religion are maintained while their substance is discarded. This we call practical atheism. Practical atheism appears when we live as if there were no God. The externals continue, but man becomes the central thrust of devotion as the attention of religious concern shifts away from man's devotion to God to man's devotion to man himself and bypassing God. He goes on to say the church's life and her creed may be distinguished but never separated. It is possible for the church to believe all the right things and do the wrong things. It is possible also to believe the wrong things and do the right things, but not for very long. We need right faith initiating right action. Honest faith joined with honest action bears witness to a real God and a real Christ. So here's what R.C. Sproul is trying to communicate here. Maybe the reason we worry, maybe the reason why worry controls us so substantially in our lives is because we have no substance or depth of who we are in Christ Jesus. You see, practical atheism is believing there is a God but living otherwise. It's believing that there is a God who loves me and saves me and wants the best for me. But it's saying those things, but our lives display something completely different. And Jesus shifts his focus kind of to the solution here. He says here in verse 33, he says, but seek first. You see, the word first actually means first. The first thing that we do. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. You see, proper priorities instill and promote peace in our lives. When you and I are focused on the right things, we won't be worried about the wrong things. Here's what happens. Here's where I struggle. And maybe you're in the same boat. I do desire to choose the things, but I choose to want to do the right things. You're like, man, I want to be used of God. I want to be faithful, and I want to do all of these things. And I continue to struggle with worry. Anybody else there before? Maybe last night you didn't sleep very well because you were worrying about something. And I started thinking about this, like, how is it that my heart and my mind, and like I want to seek first the kingdom of God, and as I was praying about this and I was searching God's word, if I'm worried, I'm not seeking first the things of God. Because here's the thing, the outflow of God is not worry in our lives. The outflow of God is the gifts of the Spirit. And here's the thing, sometimes I think that the fruit of the Spirit is worry, one of them, like I'm just going to add one. But when worry comes into my lives and it affects me and it persuades me and I allow myself to get to that situation, that is not coming from God. Worrying is stealing from us. Jesus says there's two things you ought to stay laser focused on in your life every day, and that's His kingdom and His righteousness. Proper priorities promote peace in our lives. Misplaced priorities multiplies worry. No matter what we say our priorities in your life, what you worry about is really your priority. If you are worried more about making more money than you are with spending time with your children, you may say your priority is your family, but it's not. If you're worried more about how to cover up a sin than you are about admitting it and repenting of it, you may say you are concerned about getting right with God, but you are not. Every day, our first priority should be His rule over our life and His righteousness in our life. Jesus says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Then he finishes up in verse 34. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen? See, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Jesus is speaking to us this morning. He says, here's the thing. I will give you the strength. I will give you the wisdom. I will give you the power. I will give you the know-how to overcome what is going on in our lives today. And here's what happens to me so many times. I worry about what's going to take place a week from now, a year from now, and almost every single time it never plays out like it does in my mind. Anybody else? As it passes by, I think to myself, man, that... why did I lose so much sleep over that? Why did I worry about that? And it did nothing but just suck the joy and the peace out of my life. I asked Jared to come back up. See, I know worry is... I know I'm not the only one that ever struggles with worry. Every single one of us will struggle with this in our lives. And Jesus knew that all through Scripture. Jesus understands. But Jesus also wants to point out that, but he also wants to help us through that. I just want to give you some practical things. Something that God has just helped me with, something that maybe it might be a help to you as well. You see, Jesus says that trouble will come into our lives. And for me, it was getting to a point of being aware when it comes, being prepared when it comes. See, so many times it catches us off guard, and the next thing we know, we're spiraling out of control, and it's consuming us. And God says, I want to give you the wisdom. I want to give you the understanding. I want to give you the know-how. When those attacks come, and they will come into your life, man, put on the full armor of God. Be aware when it comes. Be prepared when it comes. The next thing I would encourage you to do, we have to be in the Word of God. We have to be in the Word of God. If there were cliff notes, if there were shortcuts, I'm the first one on the list. I'm just going to be honest with you. But you and I, we must be in the Word of God. And not only must we be in the Word of God, we must live it out in our lives, because some of us are struggling with some things right now. Maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's finances, and it seems like, I mean, just over and over and over and over again, it's the same thing, and I can't get out of this rut. Do you know God's Word has something to say about that? Do you know God's Word has the power to give us the wisdom to navigate those waters so that we can make a different choice, that we can make a different road, that we can get away from, that we can pursue that? But here's what happens many times in our life. It's just like R.C. Sproul says, our shell, our outside is all on board with the things of God, but our inside, it's empty. So when these things, these attacks, these things come into our lives, man, we just crumble and fall. God's Word says, man, we got to build our house on a firm foundation, because when that storm comes, and it will come, if your foundation is not built on the Word of God, it will crumble. Next thing I encourage you to do, let God know your heart. Let God know your heart. Cry out to God in prayer and communication. The next thing I tell you to do is we must have fellowship with other believers. God never intended you to do life alone. God never intended you to carry that burden. The church is here so that we can do life together. We can carry each other's burdens, that we can be there in times of need and enjoy. And those times, for so many of us, we get away from the church. We get away from the people of God. And we struggle. The next thing I would say, serve and encourage someone else. It's just like when Jesus said, man, just look at the birds. Get our eyes off our problems. Get our eyes off our worry. Go and serve someone else. You see, for some of us, this is going to mean leaving something behind. This is going to mean stop doing something that is hindering us. For some of us, this is going to mean start doing something, pursuing the things of God. And in your chair, you should have had just a small piece of paper and a pen. Go ahead and grab that real quick. This is just for you. You're not going to hand it in. This is not a test. You don't have to show your neighbor unless you just want to. But the first one, it says, leave behind, stop doing. And the second thing says, pursue, start doing. You see, some of us this morning, we need to leave behind some things. We need to nail those things to the cross. We need to allow the Lord to carry that burden or whatever it might be. And maybe even the person beside you doesn't even know what you're wanting to leave behind. Maybe it's something that nobody else knows, but you know in your heart even right now that it's a constant struggle, and you know it is not from the Lord. You know that. You know when the Spirit of God speaks, because thank you, Lord, for convicting us in that area of our lives for us to see that that thing is not honoring to God. And I can promise you, because I've got probably more than one, you're like, man, I have a lot bigger piece of paper than this. And here's the thing, I believe God is always speaking to us. I don't think that I'm always in a place where I hear Him, but I believe God is always pursuing us and seeking us and wanting to invest in us and know us and guide us and direct us in every area of our lives. I believe even right now God is speaking to you and He's speaking to me. I just want you to write down, what is it? What is it that God is speaking to you about? What is He wanting you to pursue? What is He wanting you to get involved in? Maybe there's been something on your heart for years and you have never, ever stepped out. It's like that verse, you with little faith. Yeah, that's me. That God is wanting to stretch you and to mold you and to make you into someone, a man and a woman that honors God. But that's going to mean stepping out and experiencing Him. Maybe like you've never have before. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that piece of paper. I want you to put it in your wallet. Put it in your purse. Maybe put it in your Bible. I want to challenge you to pray about it. Take it before the Father. And say, God, you know, this is an ongoing struggle. I so desire to be this woman of God. Maybe it's in a relationship. God, make me the woman of God that could love this man or my kids, or make me the man that could love this woman and to love my kids, or help me to be the co-worker that can shine light, or help me to be a friend that can uphold the things that are going on around us. I want to challenge you to pray about these things. And my prayer is that the things of God is not just another area of our lives. You see, for some of us, we have our work area, we have our church life, and then we have our friends, and we're always navigating these different hats, and God says, no, I want to be a part of all of that. seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and all these things that you worry about, all these, even for me, sometimes silly things that I worry about, they're all going to be taken care of. Because that is not the purpose of life. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you this morning. God, I pray, Lord, maybe for some of us this morning, God, maybe it's the first time they've ever just surrendered their life. God, you make broken things beautiful because of who you are. You restore, you bring hope, you bring peace, you bring joy. God, you allow us to overcome. God, I want to pray, Lord, for so many of us, Lord, who just, this is an ongoing battle, this is an ongoing struggle. God, you knew that. God, you provide your word as a comfort, as a navigation tool, God, as truth. So, Father God, I pray this week, Lord, that you will impress on our hearts and our minds, God, maybe what they wrote down, God, maybe some of them decided not to, God. I pray, Lord, that your spirit, God, would bring that to their thoughts, God. Lord, that we could have just an open communication with you about what's going on in our lives, God. Father, we love you. God, I pray that you would just give us wisdom, Lord, even as a church, God, as we navigate the upcoming things, even changes, Father, Lord, that you would give us wisdom. But God, I pray that we would never get in front of you, Lord, or that we would follow you, that you would direct our steps. And God, I pray that everything that we do and that we say and that would bring you honor and glory. God, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.